Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I talked about this story about a year ago, and Keith pointed out to me there's been an update on it. And a lot of people have joined this channel since a year ago, so you might not remember the original story to begin with. But it's a fascinating story out of Michigan. The Michigan Supreme Court just announced they're going to hear a case. And I think about 97% of all cases submitted to the Michigan Supreme Court are declined. They simply do not hear them. And they just say, well, sorry, we don't want to hear that. But 3 out of every 100, they accept. So the ones they accept are usually cutting-edge cases. They can often be very interesting. And of course, it's almost always in an area of unsettled law. They're going to settle the law on something. And the cases involved here involve snowmobiles. Snowmobiles. And of course, in Michigan, a snowmobile in some parts of the state is about as common as a horse out in the Old West, right? In fact, there are towns in the Upper Peninsula where they plow the roads wide so snowmobiles have a good berth. And then, of course, they'll often have snowmobile trails. And you can go around the entire Upper Peninsula on a snowmobile. And people do that all the time. And then there's also a lot of trails in the Lower Peninsula, too. But snowmobiles are very, very common in Michigan. And so what happened was there were two incidents, and I'm going to talk primarily about the one that involved snowmobiles interacting with the Department of Natural Resources, the DNR. And the DNR people involved in these accidents are trying to defend their actions, saying they have immunity. So we're going to talk about governmental immunity as well. So I'm going to read to you some excerpts of the story from the Court of Appeals case. And the case is Audrey West and Randy West versus the Department of Natural Resources. And that's going to be referred to from here on out as the DNR. But it's a personal injury case, and the defendants are the Department of Natural Resources and two of its conservation officers who filed an appeal because they were involved in an accident while they were riding DNR-owned snowmobiles. And the question is, if a DNR agent is riding a snowmobile recklessly and causes an accident, hurts somebody, are they immune from prosecution? Because if the snowmobile is considered a motor vehicle, they're not. Because that's one of the exceptions to governmental immunity in Michigan, is the operation of a motor vehicle negligently. However, a snowmobile is not a true motor vehicle in all senses of the word because you can't drive them down the road. They're not plated the same way cars are. And there's some other issues with them. So is a snowmobile a motor vehicle with respect to governmental immunity? So plaintiffs were a father and daughter driving a snowmobile on Pinney Bridge Road in Chestonia Township when they allegedly encountered the defendant conservation officers acting in the course of their employment with the DNR driving DNR-owned snowmobiles on the same road but in the wrong direction. Although defendants primarily attempt to characterize Pinney Bridge Road as a mere snowmobile trail, they also describe it as an unpaved country road. Plaintiffs assert they were forced to swerve off the road to avoid being hit by the DNR officers. As a result, the snowmobile crashed, the daughter was thrown into a nearby river, and the father was pinned beneath the snowmobile. Now, some people are going to start questioning that. Every time I describe an accident in a video, people start second-guessing it. And they start saying, well, hey, the guy shouldn't have swerved off the road. He should have rammed that snowmobile. You weren't there. I wasn't there. Okay? These are just the facts as alleged. And the question is, as alleged, should these facts get to a jury? We'll let a jury decide it. But you have to understand that a head-on collision at high speed might not be something that would occur to you to take instead of going off the road. So, plaintiffs filed an action in the Court of Claims arguing that under MCL 691-1405, the DNR was liable for their alleged injuries on the grounds that they were caused by motor vehicles owned by the DNR and operated by the DNR in the course of their employment. Defendants filed a motion for summary disposition, asking the court to throw the matter out, arguing that the snowmobiles are not motor vehicles, and therefore they did not defeat the immunity defense. The Court of Claims considered the motion without oral argument, and it issued a written opinion and denied the motion for summary disposition. The court analyzed several cases that held that such vehicles other than cars or trucks, like tractors and mowers, constituted motor vehicles for purposes of this statute, reasoning that snowmobiles were similar to such conveyances and noting that the ones in question were being driven on a public roadway by DNR employees during their duties. The Court of Claims ruled that the snowmobiles in this case were motor vehicles, triggering the exception to governmental immunity, and this appeal follows. So they go into this long, long discussion of what a motor vehicle is. And a motor vehicle is defined in a whole bunch of different places in the law. It's defined under the law, the Lemon Law. It talks about what a motor vehicle is. But it's talking about what a motor vehicle is under the Lemon Law. And then also they talk about motor vehicles when it comes to driver's licenses. And say, if, you know, if you're going to drive a motor vehicle on the road, you need a driver's license. And then it tells you what a motor vehicle is. It defines it. Conveyance. And so motor vehicles define all kinds of different places. But the court held that motor vehicle for purposes of this exception is an automobile, truck, bus, or similar motor-driven conveyance. The court concluded that forklifts, for instance, do not meet the definition of motor vehicle because a forklift is a piece of industrial equipment not similar to a car, truck, or bus. And so they expanded their analysis and they talked about, for instance, that a golf cart met the definition of motor vehicle and expressly adopted the contrary reasoning of the partial dissent in another case. And so they talk about all of these different things. But this court has held that such conveyances as a Gradall hydraulic excavator, a broom tractor, a tractor mower, a tractor pulling a wagon with passengers for hayrides are all motor vehicles. In the latter case, this court rejected the defendant's argument that tractors and hay wagons were most typically found on farms and not roadways, emphasizing that binding case law is quite clear that the primary function of a vehicle does not control the analysis. We note that it is a matter of opinion and everyday experience in farming and rural communities that tractors are commonly, if perhaps seasonally and not necessarily daily, found on roadways. So there is no dispute that snowmobiles are motor-driven. There's also no contention that snowmobiles are automobiles, trucks, or buses. The question is whether they are similar motor-driven conveyances. Applying the above principles, we must consider whether a snowmobile is more like a tractor or an excavator, which would make it a motor vehicle, or more like a golf cart or a forklift, which it would not. There's no doubt snowmobiles are physically capable of operating on roads. Moreover, they're capable of traveling extended distances, like tractors, the excavator issued in another case, and conventional automobiles. And in contrast to the more limited machinery like golf carts and forklifts, thus snowmobiles are physically more analogous to automobiles than not. The snowmobiles are physically more analogous to automobiles than not. So the defendants then went into an argument about roadway. We were discussing whether or not the snowmobiles were on the roadway, which doesn't really matter all that much because if they operate the snowmobile negligently someplace else, it's still a motor vehicle, and that's what triggers it. So the Court of Appeals specifically said, look, a snowmobile, for all intents and purposes, is a motor vehicle for talking about governmental immunity. Governmental immunity is the broad thing that says that generally speaking, you can't just sue the government for everything. But they've made some exceptions. And one exception, very, very narrow exceptions, but one exception is the negligent operation of a motor vehicle. And so in that statute, it did not define what they meant by motor vehicles in this statute. So they have to look at other cases, they have to look at other statutes and try to figure out what the purpose of the law was. And the purpose of the law, obviously, was, look, the government's going to have all kinds of different functions. The government's going to operate police departments and water departments and fire departments and so on. But the government's also going to have buildings and maintain buildings. And so, for instance, if you go into a building and the building's defective and you get hurt, it's a government building, it's another exception. Because they figure, hey, the government's going to build a building. It's got to be safe if they invite you into the building. So there's a way of looking at this. And so when they say, look, we're going to hold government employees responsible when they negligently operate a motor vehicle and harm somebody, why would they mean, if it's a car or a truck, yes, but a snowmobile or an ATV, no? Because the ATV is in the other case. And that wouldn't make any sense. What's the difference? The guys are driving from point A to point B in a car, a DNR truck, a DNR ATV, or a DNR snowmobile. They're doing the exact same function, and they're operating something that motivates around under its own power. It's a motor vehicle. So this case is going to get heard by the Michigan Supreme Court now. Now, you might say, Steve, this sounds like a no-brainer. Well, you know, I hate to make predictions. And in this case, I'd hate even more. Because, unfortunately, these days, all bets are off. You never know. You never know. So I personally think that the Court of Appeals got it right, the lower court got it right, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Supreme Court decides to protect the government a little bit. They do that from time to time. But I personally think that if it's my call to make on the Michigan Supreme Court, I would say, yes, a snowmobile is a motor vehicle for the purposes of the government agent who's operating it negligently, if in fact that's the case. And by the way, keep in mind that if the Michigan Supreme Court rules in favor of the plaintiffs here, they don't win the case. It just gets sent back down for trial. And these facts will go in front of a jury, and a jury then would decide, or of a court sitting in a bench trial. But the court then would decide the facts of the case. If the facts merited it, then they could be held liable. That's what all this fighting's about. So there you go. It's a fascinating case. And I think it was Keith who tipped me off the fact that there'd been the update with the Michigan Supreme Court. It's a multiple page case. That's why I can't find the front page. Oh, yeah, there you go. Keith. So the Michigan Supreme Court has decided to pick up the case of Audrey West and Randy West versus DNR regarding the negligent operation of a snowmobile, and a companion case about the negligent operation of an ATV by a DNR employee. There you go. Questions or comments, put them below. There's a talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game.